and it's mixed with some substance, dirt, mud, whatever it is, that the animals are not going to be interested in eating, and they're not going to eat. And you want to be able to, you need to feed the animals on Shabbos. They're animals that you are responsible for, so you have it's mutter, and you have an obligation to feed them on Shabbos. And you want to, this is by Sif Ches, if you want to learn, you want to be able to clean off this food first. So what the Shulchan Aruch says is that you ain't shorin es hakarshinin. During the week, what you might do is take this vetch, take this animal fodder, and put it into a tub of water, a bowl of water, and then eventually, after some time, the impurities, the dirt and the mud that's attached to it will detach. You know, water has many wonderful properties, and amongst other things, it causes certain things to separate. Dirt or schmutz to separate from items where it doesn't belong. So, but on Shabbos you're not allowed to do that. That would be considered a form of borer, because you have the good and the bad, and you put them together in this water, and now it separates. So that is considered borer. In fact, bipshuto, that's called borer bikli. Right, you're using you're soaking in the water, which the water the property of the water is to separate, is to cause the things to separate. So it's also to do that. And furthermore, the Shulchan Aruch says, "V'lo shafin osam biyad kidei lahasar apsolas." Nor can you rub it with your hands to get off the psolas, the dirt. The havali borer, that would borer as well. And you'll be taking the bad from the good. Okay, so let's stop there. So you can't do that. Now,
how is that different from peeling a banana?
From peeling? Oh, very good question. So the question is being asked is that why isn't at least the second way? The first way...
Yes, because you're using a keli.
Right, and you're soaking it. But if you're just rubbing it to get off the dirt, then why is that not like peeling? So... valid question, right? So the easy answer might be to say it is like peeling, and when it says you can't do it, it doesn't mean you can't do it if you're ready to feed the animal. Well, if you're ready to feed the animal right now, you can, just like you could take off the banana peel when you're ready to eat the banana. What it means is you can't do this in advance. You can't do this when it's not, just like, which would be true by the banana as well, right? The halacha that you're allowed to peel a fruit take off the peel in order, because that's considered the derech achila, is only la'alter. You're allowed to do it for immediate use. But if you're just doing it now to use later on in the day, it would be usher. So that might be one answer. Now, however, some of the achronim say specifically not like that, or at least it's clear mashmos in some of the achronim, like Privogadim, and others that know that it's this is usher even if you want to use it immediately. And so if that's true, then the question returns, right? The question comes back to the table. So why is it different than peeling? Okay, so let's see if we could get an answer to that question. So now, but based on what we're reading here, so let's say your person has I'll read you one Mishnah Berurah first. The Mishnah Berurah says, same thing with potatoes. Don't use water. Don't use water to clean off the dirt and the dust and dirt from them. So now we're talking about Shabbos here, right? We're not talking about Yontif. So you say, well, potatoes. We're talking about cooked potatoes. You don't usually have, ovek enough for cooked potatoes. It's much more common if you have raw potatoes. So, okay, so what it would mean, and this is the Sefer Ocha Shabbos speaks out this way, it's probably a continuation of the preparing food for your animal. Human beings aren't eating raw potatoes, that's what they're saying, right? And cooked potatoes aren't going to You're going to have, this is a very unusual example to give if he's talking about a cooked potato. So you get a raw potato. So who eats a raw potato? Your animal. So it's a, that's why he said in the beginning, Karshinim, hu ma'echal behema, v'udin tapuchi adama. You know, so it was common to soak them in water. If they potatoes and they come out of the ground, they can be, you know, you're not buying them in a bag. They weren't buying them in a bag in the store where they were already clean somewhat. They're still pretty dirty, right? You still, you could peel them, or if you're not going to peel them, you're certainly going to scrub them before you cook them or serve them. But that's already after a lot of work has been done. When they first come out of the ground, they could be have real glods of earth stuck to them. So the Mishnah would be saying you can't do that. Okay, so the question is, well, what about cases like in our homes to take if you have a fruit that you want to eat, a fruit, fresh fruit, and you want to wash it first. So there are different possibilities. So some people will wash, it's common that people wash a fruit, any fruit, even if there's nothing apparent on it, that doesn't look like it's dirty at all. But since we know that they may very well may have been pesticides used, or other things might have been sprayed on them somewhere along the line for one reason or another. So it's a normal thing for people to wash them first. So that, many say, is okay to do. Many say that's okay because there's nothing there that you really, that you see or can really identify. It's just a, like a precaution, a hygienic precaution to wash them. You should wash off a tomato or an apple or, you know, things like that. But what happens if it has real stuff in it? Yeah, what happens if it has real dirt or something on it? So there's a tshuva in the Igros Moshe, in the first chelik of Orach Chaim, in Simen Kuf Chaf Hei. And in that tshuva, let's get the place here. Rav Moshe writes that... He quotes his halacha and he says, "Hine, ha'isur borer, af shehu breres apsolish she'asur afilu la'alter." Even though within the isur breres is taking off psolish from ochel, even if you're going to use the food right away, pashut shekiva she'ef she'likach ha'ochel. It's pasha though in a case like this where you can't get to the food or you can't take the food away from the. If you have a fruit with some dirt on it or mud on it, whatever, you can't take the fruit away from the dirt. It's just not so feasible. The only practical way is like the question you're asking is to wash off the dirt. So v'derech achilu hu lirchot sapsolas, it's considered derech achilu to wash off. So mutter, you're allowed to do that. Mutter kidei lechol alter. You are allowed to do that if you're going to eat it right away. Kamod mutter liklav shumu v'tzalim lechol mamashim. Just like you're allowed to peel garlic or onions. Doesn't say bananas, but same idea. You're allowed to peel these things, lechol alter, kedikas bebir alacha, sofsir and shin chaf aleph. And that's what he says. Umasharochsim ha'olim perus. Typically, when people do wash a perus, hu rak bekai gavna, kishimavian a perus lachon takeif. Then he says, v'gam barof upon him, usually, rechitza perus hu rak li yisroim ba'alma. Usually, it's just, we're just doing it, you know, as a, like I said, a precaution, or what do you say? Precaution, right? The way we get the most, many people would eat it without washing it. But as like is, then for sure there's no issur. He says it's like other things that have some sort of impurity, which most people wouldn't care about, and would just eat it together.
Why does that help?
Because it's not considered a separate min. We don't look at it like there's another min on this pri. If the rov ha'olam would eat the pri the way it is, and you would also, if you had to, you prefer not to, but. But certainly, so we don't look at it like there's a mixture here. There aren't two things. There's an apple. True, you prefer to wash off the apple because of the possible or even certain presence of something. But assuming that something, as long as that something is a matter or is a substance which you would eat if you had to together with the. So we don't. It's not viewed as two separate meaning. Okay. Now. Okay, but he's saying that even without that, right? He's not limiting it to this case though. Here, then he says the case of the. I don't understand this exactly because he says the case of the potatoes. is it says they're full of malayim avak va'afar. So most people can't eat it that way, or maybe nobody can eat it that way. And he says it's not right to eat without rechitza. Therefore, you're not allowed to do it since it's not being used la'alter. So I don't know. It sounds like he's talking about people eating those potatoes again. I don't know why people, you know, how people be eating raw potatoes, but okay. Anyway, so that's what he says first, and it sounds almost like. But okay, well, let's stop. The next paragraph, from Moshe says, "Uktsas hayinir l'niyaz daiti direct l'itain l'sochli sheish b'mayim." Bechal, I would think that the whole iser. The whole iser is only soaking it, like the case of the Shulchan Aruch. Shezehu ma'aser breira. But avalitein aleihem mayim, to pour water on them or to put them under a stream of water, ve'enu nosdam behamayim, hu derech rechitza v'lo derech borer. Urechitza lo neser beperos, k'mal shel neser bekelim. There's a famous Shilta Giborim. Yeah, there's a famous Shilta Giborim that says that he asks the question, or he discusses at least, how are you allowed to wash up a plate? You use the dish Friday night for the Suda, and you serve chicken, and left behind some grease, and the grease, let's say, has congealed, and it's hardened on the plate, or even if it does, either, and you want to wash it off. So the question is, why isn't that iser borer? You know, it's stuck to it. The grease is stuck to the plate. It doesn't. You turn it upside down, it doesn't just come off. So you have two things stuck to each other. You have a form of a mixture. Why isn't it iser borer to wash off the plate?
Where's the maichon? What's the
deal?
What's like the maichon? What's like
the plate? The plate. It doesn't have any food. The plate is the good, and the schmutz, the chicken grease, is the bad. So he says that because that's not called separating. Or borer, that's called washing. If you ask anybody what's happening, nobody would say, "Oh, the guy's separating the plate from the grease, or the grease, or separating the grease from the plate." No, he's washing the plate.
If it's congealed, then yeah, but it's
a muck, no? But even so, I mean, when you put it under water and wash it, everybody.
If you rub it, muck.
You might be memach, he said.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think we have.
It's hard, rubbing it off. It doesn't just come off
the
water.
I don't think it there is a shaila in the discussion in Reishon and Gimel, but it's a shaila of molid. If you put it under, you know, warm water and it changes the grease back into liquid. Yeah, but
I thought also to rub it, you know, it's a hard piece.
Yeah, but I don't think
you're scrubbing it, so it's.
But you're not smoothing anything out. You're just getting rid of it. You're just scraping. You know. I don't think there's the issue that they talk about it from that perspective, but the question is borer. So the Shulchan Aruch says it's not borer because malachas very often are determined by the way it's perceived, the way the what would you call this ma'aser? What would you see this person doing? How would you describe the act that's happening? So if people would describe this as an act, define this or label this as an act of washing a dish rather than separating a hard dish from psoles, so it's takanah called that. It's takanah called bor. It's called shtifa or rechitza. So Rav Moshe says the same thing with the fruit. When you rinse off a fruit, it's not viewed labeled by people as an act of separating, but rather as an act of just rinsing and cleansing.
So let's say somebody has a plate, a dirty plate, and put it in the sink and put water in it to separate. That would be borer.
So that might be. It's sack of mashra for a mashra's tshuva, a little mashra that way, that to soak dishes in order to get the grease off that you wouldn't be able to do.
Can you clean your hands on the plate? Or the plate that you have a sink full of plates and you do netilat over it.
Well, I'm saying you can like even wash it. You don't have to do that. You can wash it. You can wash the mamash. I mean, you're allowed to wash it. The question is, could you soak it? Could you leave it in a bowl of water soaking overnight or whatever? So, which it's mashman halacha that you are allowed to do that even. For this tshuva, I gives a certain impression that you wouldn't let be allowed because he's comparing soaking plates or he's comparing the cleansing of the plate to the cleansing of the food of the karshinim of the vetch, and just like he says that it's only an iser to soak, there's no iser to rinse, That's what he's maintaining. So he says here, you know, or just like I said, just like by a plate, there's no issur to rinse. So by the food, by the animal fodder, there's no issur to rinse either. But there is an issur to soak it there. So it sounds like he's saying by the plate there might be issur to soak. L'mais, it's mashman halacha that it's not usur, that you're even allowed to soak it. It's assuming you want it for Shabbos. I'm not talking about getting the dishes, you know, soaking so that after Shabbos it'll be easier to wash them. No,
that's the target.
Oh, that's the target, you said?
Yeah, that's
the target. That's not what I'm saying. That's a different shayla. Okay, that's a shayla hachana that you're preparing for Shabbos. So there's a famous psak from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that if you're really only doing it just to keep the grease from hardening, so that it shouldn't be harder, more difficult to wash it after Shabbos it is now, then that's not called hachana. Hachana is only when you're making a change now for after Shabbos. But he says here you're not trying to make a change that for carrot, you're trying to maintain the status quo that you want to put this plate into water so that the grease will not harden on it, so that after Shabbos you can wash it off. So he says that's mutter to do. I heard Rav Shmuel first time that Rav Moshe disagreed with that. And Rav Moshe held that that's also called hachana, and you're not allowed to do it. But he did allow just leaving it in the sink. Like, that's, now I understand what you were saying, but leaving it in the sink and just, you use the sink and you wash your hands. Right. So when I said before, I responded to you're allowed to even wash it, I meant for Shabbos. You're allowed to wash it for Shabbos. If you're talking about for after Shabbos, then no, for sure you're not allowed to wash it. Right? No, for sure not allowed to wash it. And as I said, according to Rav Moshe, you're not even allowed to let it soak so that it doesn't get worse. That's who the machlokes Rav Moshe and Shlomo Zalman. But you're just allowed to leave it in the sink. And I saw another one in the Gedolim of Eretz Yisrael that says you can't even do that, to leave it in the sink. Okay, but that's all for after Shabbos. That's the Shalav HaChana. What we're talking about now is focus. I want to use it on Shabbos. I want to use this plate to put out the next Suda.
What's very interesting is the Achana. We're talking about Achana. Some people put the plates in the dishwasher. Instead of putting on the thing, they put them in the dishwasher. And it's also
chana. Okay, so
why
tell you what,
is that considered chana more than the putting into the basket of water?
So what the poskim say about that? Okay, good, very good, valid point. What the poskim say about that is that it's only mutter to do it if it's a convenient place to place them when you come into the kitchen, and one second, and you put them in. Without like basically arbitrarily, you put them in a random fashion. To stack a stand there and figure out, put like I know when I'm filling if I'm ever filling the dishwasher during the week, and my wife happens to be looking. I like to do it when she's not looking, but she's looking. She'll say, "Well, why are you putting that there? Put that if you put that there and that there, you can get in twice as much." You would think I would know by now, but so if you do that and you stand there and you figure out put this plate here and this plate here so that you could fit in the other bowl and that you taka can't do in Shabbos. But if you're simply putting it in the dishwasher because it's the you want to get it off the table, you want to clear it off the table, and you don't want it lying around the kitchen, looking non-Shabbosic. So you want it out of the way so that you're allowed to do, or even just like for convenience sake, meaning you're allowed to put something in its place when you're done, when you're finished using it on Shabbos. You can't you can't take move something out for where it is and put it in a in the place. But if it's anyway has to be put away. Let's say you're putting food away, you take the challah off the table after Friday night Suda, and you have a challah that's completely untouched, and you realize we're not going to need this for Shabbos. We have enough other challah for tomorrow morning. We're not going to need this one. So instead of just taking it to the kitchen and putting it on the kitchen table, you could take it and put it in the freezer because I have to move it anyway. So I'm allowed to put it where it belongs. The natural place to put it is in the freezer. If I have already something in the refrigerator, for example, and say, you know what, we're not going to eat Shabbos, let's take it out and freeze it. That's a different story. That you shouldn't do because just leave it. It's not bothering anybody. It doesn't have to be moved at all. It's the moving it is because you want to be making it. You want it to freeze and stay longer. That you shouldn't do. But if you're moving it anyway, you need to move it anyway to put it away. So it's like when you take off your shirt Friday night. Let's say it's dirty, and it needs to be laundered. So you don't have to just drop it on the floor or leave it on your bed or whatever. You're allowed to put it until you have a hamper in the bed. You're allowed to put it there, even though that makes it easier when you want to do the laundry. But that's just a natural thing to do with a shirt that you're not going to wear anymore. It goes into the hamper, so you're not mechuyev to dafka put it in the wrong place. I'll hang it back up in my closet so that after I'll put it straight in the hamper. So that's the thing with the dishwasher. This is what the post can write. But to stand there, taka, and arrange it in such a way that after Shabbos you just have to put in the soap and press the button, or So that's your shtakas she can't do.
Why is the water more chazer than that?
No, because the water is making a change in the plate. The water is starting to clean the plate. It's getting the grease off, or it's at least softening the grease. So Shlomo Zalman says if it's just soft, keeping it soft, that's not hachana. It's just maintaining the matzav. Rav Moshe didn't agree to that. He held that even that's still hachana.
According to the Shulchan Aruch, would soaking the dishes be the same as just rinsing them? They're both acts that really don't. I'm not sure.
I mean, as I said, the pashas is yes, though. If they want the dish for Shabbos, the pashas that is mutter, yes. And I think the answer is yes. Rav Moshe's shuv is a shtickle mash, but not like that. He's mash, but not like that. But he doesn't say it in Mefurish.
What would be, according to Moshe, what's the difference?
Because one is derech borer. Because soaking is derech borer. Rinsing isn't that rinsing is soaking is taka more perceived as a maisa bar. You're soaking something because it has soaking something gets the ability to separate. It's like more derech bar yichanami. You know, I have no desire for the grease, so it's not like I'm trying to separate it. But the maisa soaking is more of a derech. That's what it is, more derech bar, and that's what. Okay, but
you wouldn't be allowed to leave it in the sink even to allow it to happen.
And just stop and use the sink plane and it gets wet.
Yeah.
So Shmuel first told me that Rav Moshe held that is what he held. You're not allowed to put it into a bowl of water to let it soak, like Rav Shlomo Zalman is brought that he is matur. He told me Rav Moshe held you're not allowed to do that, but you are allowed to leave it in the sink and you just use the sink. Derech Agav, and it keeps it wet over Shabbos. That you're allowed to do. Well, it's not, but that's bechlan. Not look up bar. I mean, the sink is the place where you put dirty dishes, right? Or if not the dishwasher, I mean, it's normal to put them in the sink, and I'm using the sink, so I'm happy that this is happening. But it's not considered my master. I did see. I don't remember where, but I did see somewhere from Diane Fisher that he holds a tack and not even allowed to do that. You're not even allowed to let them stay in the sink when they're going to constantly get wet and accomplish this. But, okay. But this is all, again, that's all talking about if you don't need it for Shabbos. Now, going back, when you need it for Shabbos, I want it for tomorrow morning, I want to use the plate for tomorrow morning. So Rav Moshe says, just like you're allowed to wash, everyone knows you're allowed to wash it, you're allowed to wash it off. So just like you're allowed to wash off the plate, you're allowed to wash off fruit. He says there's no difference between those two things. It's not Maisa Borah. Implying, Rav Moshe is implying here, he says, Mefurish, that it should be mutter, even if it's not for La Alter, even if it's not for immediate use. Just like you're allowed to wash the dishes Friday night, which you're going to use Shabbos morning, it's not for immediate use, but it's not borer. So Rav Moshe is being medama that washing off the fruit underwater would be the same thing. And he says, Avot Tzarechi in Ladina, right? Tzarechi in Ladina, if you could do that, but not for La Alter. But he says to wash it, you know, to wash it for immediate use, that he holds his pasha that's mutter. Now there are a number of other gedolim who say this also, that washing it under a stream of water is not called bora. In the Shemir Shabbos in Parag Gimel, let me see an exact maramakam here. Sifcha Beis. Okay, Sifcha Beis and the new print. He says that he only is matal lemaisa for la alter. He says ula mima psolis devuka beperis. If the psolis is stuck onto the peris, o sheyesh aleim avak, o chomer risus ukedoma. There's dirt on it, there's dust on it, or there's some something there that's put to a pesticide type of some sort of chemical, and you want to get it off. Mutala hasiris eila. You're allowed to remove them. Al yidei hazramas mayim aleim. You're allowed to get it off by putting it under a stream of water. The Yasekein Rak Samach Lachilas HaPeres. But it says only, he's medama this to Kolev. Right? Rav Moshe has a tzad that it should be mutter even shalom, not for immediate use because it's like, it's not considered a Maisa Bor, it's considered a Maisa Rechitza, Moshe's Tzarechin. So he's not matter that when it's not for La'alter, but if when it is for La'alter, he is matter. And then he says, V'chein Mutter Liklov Peres V'yirakos Al Ha'ofer Hadavuk Bohem. Or Samach Lachilas, you could peel them and by peeling them, you also get off the dirt. Now, Then he says here. You're also allowed to rub it clean, to get off dirt. Biyad with your hand, or b'matlas yevesha with a dry towel. Can't use a wet towel because you shouldn't come to shechita, but you're allowed to do that. So he addresses on the bottom. He says this comes from Shlomo Zalman Arbach. You're allowed to do that. And he says, but it said in Shulchan Aruch that by the Karshidim, not only can't you soak them, it also said, ain't shafin. It said there that, the lo shafin, O son, you can't rub them, k'dei lo hasrep solis. And presumably even the altar, you can't rub them to get up the psalis. So Shlomo Zalman says, you'll ask me, so how am I saying that you could take a fruit and rub it? How does this differ from what the Shulchan Aruch says? So he says, the hadam of the ain't shafin is our Karshidim. He has a few different possibilities. Either that's talking about that you're rubbing it to lahafrid bein hapsolus va'ochel. You're rubbing it gufa to separate it. You're rubbing it to detach, you know, to make a separation between the two. V'chakach motzias hapsolus, and then you're like taking the psolus off. So, which is again more derech borer. If you're just washing it under a stream of water, then that's not considered derech borer. That's considered a derech achila. But if you're rubbing it just to like have something that's like, let's say the case of the potatoes, raw potatoes that you want to serve to your animals, and they're caked on mud or, you know, really hard dirt, so you're rubbing it to separate the stuff, and then you take it off, not derech washing it, it's like derech klipa. He says that perhaps that's worse. Or he says, or like the Egli Tal says, shahashif shehu b'soch hamayim, that rubbing it means underwater in order to get the psolus to float to the top. I mean, just like the first halacha, Shulchan says you're not allowed to soak it, you're not allowed to put it in a soaking in a tub of water. And then it says ve'ein shafin, the Egli Tal learns that that's a continuation, that you're not allowed to put it in water and rub it under the water to get the psolus, you know, to eventually float to the top. Means when you're rubbing it, you're not necessarily getting the psolus off. You're loosening it. So now, when it will soak, it'll separate easier. So that obviously you can't do. And then he says, well, one more possibility. He says maybe it's talking about you have a lot of fruit together or a lot of karshina together. So if you have a lot of them, so you have the fruit, or that's not fruit, it's the karshina, is the animal fodder with the psolus stuck to it, and you rub it all. And now you have a whole mixture. You have psolus. It's not one piece. If you have just one piece, you have one potato or one apple, and you rub. That's not you rub it even to get the dirt. That's less like being taking off a cleat, but that's okay. But if you have a whole bunch of them, then you have now a whole mixture of good and bad. So then you have a shaila bar. He says a very similar thing by candies. You know, there's a shaila of if you have a sucking candy, for example, which is sticky, and the wrapper, the little plastic wrapper, gets stuck to it. So is that like a peel? Do we treat that like the peel of a banana or an orange, which would be mut to take off, but only miyad, right? Only for a mini juice. Or no, is it mut? Do we say that's not a taruvis? That wasn't naturally done. That wasn't min shemaim. Like everyone agrees, I think everyone, but we certainly, you know, will considered to be mutter to take an apple out of a bag. So you have a little plastic bag, a little sandwich bag, you know, Ziploc bag, and you have an apple inside. You'll have to take the apple out of the bag, even if you're only eating the apple later. That's not called borer. It doesn't have to be done for me to juice. And by the same token, if something is wrapped in a wrap in some sort of paper or something that's not stuck to it, then that's not borer. The question is when it's stuck to it. When it's stuck to it, do we look at it now like the klipa of a thing? So Shlomo Zalman, someplace here in the Shemir Shabbos, says that even if the I think he's, you know, a shayla about it, something about it, but he says, but that's all talking about like one candy. But he says, avad, if you have like a whole bunch of candies, and you take off all the wrappers, and now you have a mixture of wrappers and candies, then for sure you have a whole taruvis. Forget about the you know, the wrapper by being stuck to the candy, but now you have a pile of candies and wrappers, so you can't be buried. So that's what he's saying here too, that maybe that's the pshat in the Shulchan Aruch. In Shofen is HaKarshinim means when you have a lot of Karshinim together, and I guess he would learn the Tapuchei Adama also, that then this is the way the Aruch HaShabbos actually spoken out, that you have a lot of potatoes, and you rub off all the dirt, now you have a whole bunch of potatoes and dirt, so now you have a taruvis, and you have to be careful, only to take the good from the bad, or, and, you know, for immediate use. Okay, but anyway, so Rishon Zalman, it says like this psak of Rabosha as well, that just to take an apple and rinse it off under the faucet, lo mi boy, when the only thing there is not even visible, not even discernible, and you're just doing it, you know, just cleanliness, hygiene. But even if there's mamish something there that that's undesirable, you'd be allowed to rinse it off, and to yourself. Like I was thinking, we're not allowed to peel an egg on Shabbos, right? So we're allowed to peel an egg as long as it's fermented juice. But what about, so let's say you're peeling the egg and you get to a point where you took off 98% of the peel, 99%, and there's a little piece of peel left. So that is, okay, as long as you're still peeling it, you're for sure allowed to take it off, even though the egg is perfectly edible now. You just eat the egg and just avoid that little piece. The whole heter is that it's derech achila, right? Because that's the way you eat an egg. You don't cut an egg with the peel and with the shell and then scoop it out. You don't cut an orange that way either, typically. I mean, that's not the benchel chavay to eat an orange. You eat an orange, right? Take off the peel and then you eat it. Or take off the banana peel. You don't scoop the banana out from the peel. But the egg, once you're down to one little tiny piece of shell, which you might have overlooked, so for sure, as long as you're still working on it, you're allowed to do it. What happens if you find a little piece later? Is that still mutter, or is it sad to say that at that point it's not a klipa anymore? I mean, it was once part of a klipa, but you peeled eggs before Shabbos, and you take the egg in the refrigerator to eat, and you find a little piece of shell. So the heter would be, at least maybe you could take it off. I don't know, maybe you'd still say I could continue the peeling act. But even if not, to rinse it off under the faucet, that would be another example. You're rinsing it off, derech chitza. Certainly, if it's for immediate juice, you'd be allowed to do that. Okay, so that's, now there are some gedolim that are quoted as saying that you can't do this, but lemaisa, it seems that this, you know, is enough to rely on for Rav Moshe or Shlomo Zalman. Rav Moshe is a tzad, you could even do it shalom, you know, not even for, not for immediate use. And Shlomo Zalman's matter at least for immediate use, so we have firm basis to allow that. Okay. Next. I can't see the time here.
48.
Okay, fine. Okay, thank you. So now the... excellent. Thank you very much. The next halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, Siftes, is talking about a situation where a person has a strainer, a mishameris, which is something that you could put. It's like a strainer. That's basically a sifter, a strainer. And what it says is, even if it's already in place before Shabbos, it's already attached to the top of a barrel or some other keli, so you're not allowed to take shmarim. You have shmarim of the wine sediments, from the barrel, bottom of the barrel, and typically they still have, when they're fresh, they still have, there's some wine in them, and if they sit, if you were to put them on this strainer, then over the course of time, wine would ooze out of it, and the wine would go through the holes, and more, you know, solid part of the shemar would stay behind, so that you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Even if the mishameris is already there, so there's no question of making an ohel on Shabbos by putting it there, but you can't put the shemarim there on Shabbos, because that's a ma'isa of borer and mamish borer bekeli, because this is a mishameris, is a spitz type of, you know, a perfect example of a kli shel borer. But since the shulchan, let's say they're there already. Let's say the shemarim are there from before Shabbos. So then you're allowed to pour water on them. You're allowed to pour water on the shemarim, so that, and the water helps the water picks up some of the flavor of the wine and goes through the holes of the strainer and goes to the bottom, and now you have some flavored water, which is your goal. So you're allowed to do it. So why are you allowed to do that? Aren't you doing the same thing? You can't put the shmarim there, because when the shmarim sits there, when the shmarim sit there, the wine is going to seep out, and you You did that. You put it there. You did the bar. So how can I pour the water? Even if I put the shemarim there before Shabbos, but how can I go on Shabbos and pour water? Which is, if anything, maybe it's even going to encourage, going to push, you know, push out the flavor more. So what it says is that it's mutter because the water itself is clear water, right? The water itself is no. If there be no shemarim there, that's not a shaila. I'm allowed to pour water, totally clear, sparkling clear water through a strainer, and I did nothing. It's not bar. I'm not even moving the strainer. It's not even shalav muksa. The strainer is sitting there, and I'm pouring water through. That's for sure. Okay, but so mitzad the water, it's not a problem, right? Here it says the lashon of Mishnah Berurah. Vatam she'ein benesinus mayim mishum bara. The reason why putting the water there is not an isra bara. It's the Mishnah Berurah la'mikimul. Shamayim shu nosin tsluluhem. The water is clear. Ma'ein behem davar shetzarich levari. Not mehem. There's nothing you be mevar from them. But the question is, but what about the wine that I'm getting out of the shmarim? So there are different approaches, but basically the basic idea seems to be that the reason why that's mutter is because the wine itself is just it's just a flavor. It's not considered anything really be'en that's getting into the water. Just picks up, becomes flavored water, and goes out. It doesn't like take something with it. Doesn't really take wine with it, or whatever wine it does take, it immediately becomes part of the water, becomes bustled into the water, and it's not called bar. Putting the shmarim there alone so that the liquid should separate from the solid, that's an iser. But once it's there already, just pouring the water through, the water's going to go straight through. The water's not sitting there and, you know, and dripping slow. The water is going straight through. On the way through, it picks up some flavor. So it picks up some flavor. That the flavor itself is like mamash, not be'en. And to whatever extent that, whatever degree you might say, there is some real wine becomes bottled into the water, so you're allowed to do that. That's what the post could say. So now...
What about just putting the shmarim there and then on Shabbos and pouring water again?
No, because the act of putting the shmarim there is... Then take the shmarim away right afterwards. I mean, if you leave the shmarim, then you can't do it because they're going to continue.
Yeah,
to
just I want flavored water. So I just.
But you for sure have to take the shmarim out afterwards, right?
After I'm finished pouring.
Yeah. So yes, could you do that? Just put the shmarim there for a minute, and hopefully, with intention. I don't need anything to drip through. I'll just pour the water, just like the other guy's doing. He put his shmarim there before Shabbos, and the rabbi told him he's allowed to pour. Shmarim told him he's allowed to pour water on top of it. So I'll put my shmarim there just for a second, and shalom, not that they should separate, and then I'll put water. I hear. Think about it that way. It doesn't seem like it should be okay.
But
the question is, why not? Okay. But what Posk can say, Kateri Posk can say, most of us are. I don't think we're dealing with wine sediments and but a very similar thing is with coffee filters, coffee or tea. The earlier contemporary Sfarim talk about tea, and then because that now the Heidegger Sfarim Mamash talking about coffee, because for the times, this is the coffee generation, not the tea generation anymore. So, but they say that you according to this, you should be allowed. The person would be allowed to take coffee grounds, and even put them on the filter on Shabbos, because the coffee grounds themselves are not like the shmarim. Nothing's going to happen. If they just sit there on the filter, nothing's going to happen. There's no coffee in them that's seeping out. So with the coffee grounds, you could even put it on the filter on Shabbos and then pour water through. Now, let's leave out Bishl for a second. Let's just talk about, let's say it's a lukewarm water, whatever it is, just for a moment. And you can pour water through, and there's no isabara. Because it's exactly what's happening here. The water is just picking up some flavor from the coffee grounds, and that flavor, whatever reason, we don't consider the water picking up the tam yayin as a maisa barer. So and for Shulchan Aruch, it's not a halacha that's debated or argued by the achronim. So here too, it's the same thing. The water is picking up flavor of the coffee grounds or tea leaves, and the water, you pour the water over the tea leaves, and it. On the way through, it picks up some of the flavor of the tea leaves and goes through. And it says before that in numerous from that this Mut Shmir Shabbos says this by tea leaves.
The filters that they have in the canisters when you pour in water, that's also good.
Filters that they have where? I'm sorry.
Yeah, but like people want to filter the water, so they have like.
Oh.
The British.
Okay. That we'll probably get to next week. I think that the shaila is because there you are filtering something out of the water. I'm talking about here. You're taking water, which let's for argument's sake is perfectly clean. You're just getting something out of the tea leaves or the coffee, the tea leaves or the coffee grounds. So that's the first. The British stuff. That's
not liquor.
What? Okay, so let's leave that for next week because I don't want to do that on regular achas. I just wanted to tell you where this halacha that I'm telling you that you're allowed to pour the get the coffee and the tea is a couple of places. First of all, you have the Shmir Shabbos and Perak Gimel Sif Samach Dalin Sefer Ayil Meshulish, and he brings it from Gedolei Hador. That's Ma'ashe Perak Zayin Sif Lamed Beis in the Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky Sefer. He says his mutter in the parrot, it's the second chelik of Shabbat, parrot of Zayin Sif, Kutlam and Beis. And some other places, they'll say this is mutter too. It's not a maisabara, which is a gewaldig heter. Now, the only problem is what about bishul, though? You can't pour from an urn or from a kettle, because that would be, you're talking about raw coffee grounds. And even to pour from a klisheni, you shouldn't do onto raw grounds. So the heter would be either a klishlishi, so that's at least some would be matter a klishlishi, or water that's not yet selezbo, or water that's not yet selezbo. But a klishlishi would be a shaila, whether that's mutter or not.
For tea and coffee, or just tea?
Either one.
I always thought it was tea.
Tea is a shaila. Coffee, you're right. The coffee, if it's already, if it's not raw, if it's already roasted,
instant coffee,
pre-roasted, coffee. Now you, this is the coffee shop, but we're not doing anything with coffee grounds. Right. If they're already pre-roasted, so bishaj is the bishal achar tzliya, so then with the kli shlishi would be okay. Then would be shlish, with kli shlishi would be okay in the coffee. The tea, which is totally raw, that even a kli shlishi is not pashit. The Aruch HaShulchan says that you can't make tea even in a kli shlishi. But Maisha writes in Shiva that you can. That would be telling them a chalakas. Okay, we'll stop here. It's Hashem next.